Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Hail Victory, everyone. This is Pastor Martin Luther Dzerzhinsky Linstead, and this is the Movement Turd number 11. Now, it should really be more shows than that, but I've gone ahead and compressed other shows and uploaded other shows. And episode number 11 is about the invasion by Zogbots into the bowel movement. Now, I've been rather busy at this time. Last week, I had driven all the way up to Fulton and to Jeff City in order to go ahead and run for United States Senator. And I was going to go ahead and apply either Monday, but I left around 8:30 and got on a few bad detours and ended up on the west side of Lake of the Ozarks. And as a result, probably went 35 or more miles out of the way. Ended up having to take a toll bridge that I'd never seen before. And the GO, it's not very good on hills. If you're not able to go ahead and go 65 miles an hour down a hill, you're not going to be doing more than 25 miles if it's a steep hill up the hill. So anyway, it took a while. Left at 8:30 and got there around 3 o'clock. And it was too late to go ahead and visit my friends at the Nut House for the 1 o'clock session. But I did. At this time, I was heading to the Nut House for the first time as a visitor as opposed to a imprisoned inhabitant. And I went ahead and visited my friend, one who I'd left on Ward G6, which is the awaiting trial. And contrary to law, they treat you worse if you're awaiting trial and not convicted than they do if you have committed a horrendous crime and pled not guilty by reason of insanity to it. So as a result, I mean, that's the exact opposite of what it should be. If you're awaiting trial, you should be, you know, the only reason is because they're thinking that you won't show up. And that's why they're detaining you, but you ought to be able to go ahead and prepare for trial. But in my case, I was sent up there because I would not knuckle in and allow myself to be railroaded. And as a result, because I insisted on being my own lawyer, they sent me up there illegally, wouldn't allow me to challenge the, line diagnosis of, they claimed that I wasn't schizoid or maniac, depressive, or anything like that, but rather I was that I was suffering from psychotic disorder not otherwise specified, which is 6 tenths of the DSM-V5. And what it boils down to is that it allows some Jew or nigger or whatever quack to claim that you're nuts, but not how you are nuts. And as a result, by claiming that you're nuts, he goes ahead and sends you up there and does whatever they want to you. And that's what happened with me for 2.5 years. And it wasn't until April that I got a brand new doctor fresh out of medical school to do away with the forced medication. And then once I wasn't taking any psychotropic medication, and it was just 2 milligrams of risperidone, and the whole purpose of it was to just simply claim that I needed to be up there in order to be doped and thus not allowed to prepare for a trial. And what happens on the very first time, when it came time to actually prove that something did occur, my grandson pretty well told them that, no, I'm not going to lie against my grandfather. I'm going to say is that you went ahead and lied and broke up our family and sent him to a nut house and to jail for nothing because you're a bunch of criminals. And that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with Zog knowing that its days are ended. 2 weeks ago, they went ahead and said that non-white births outnumber white births in the Zogland for the first time ever. rallies, first time ever since the 1700s, when whites were taking over America. And now we're going to have a mudland. We're going to have a... chat room's already shut down. My browser, okay. Only have the illusion of freedom. Well, guess number four, you're absolutely right. Essentially, what you end up having is that you end up having these little militia movements and the rest of them that show up. And if they're above ground, taking advantage of their so-called freedom, they invariably have agent provocateurs, which I call Zogbots, like Red Mike Vanderkuyke, like Trader Glenn Miller. These Zogbots come in and they get people to do something stupid or criminal that isn't going to accomplish anything. You see, when Zog falls apart, sooner or later, the white man will have no choice but to go ahead and proactively kill the police, the lawyers, the judges, the politicians, the rest of them who keep him down. Because they know that he doesn't, you know, once a white man knows he doesn't have any freedom, the only way he's going to have freedom is to exterminate everyone who stands in his way. And that's what the founding felons understood. They understood that that the price of freedom is a willingness to exterminate, to put to death, to destroy anybody who destroys your freedom. And if you're not willing to do that, you're not going to have any freedom at all. But in any case, what we end up having is we end up having these criminals run wild. They do whatever they want, and you know, they pretend that we have freedom, but we don't. But getting on to where well was, I went ahead and visited these people. I went ahead and just did the nuttier of the two, and let Roxy deal with the tamer of the two. And after visiting hours at 8:30, went back to the motel room. And I'm going to go ahead and give this motel room a good plug when I find this car. You know, car is at the West. It's at the Westwood Motel in Fulton, and it's the I think it's the second Fulton exit. And what you do is you come in and you make a turn at the Westwood. And if you tell the Chinese or Asiatic owner there, and none of these motels are nowadays, unless they're really expensive like Holiday Inn, Express, or whatever, none of these cheaper motels are run by whites anymore. But this guy was a fairly decent sort, and for $35, we got to spend the night without any taxes because we said that we were visiting inmates at the Fulton Hospital for inmates. So when I got there, I'd been up since Saturday 11. I'd pretty well got done a number of things and packed, and we decided to go ahead and leave Sunday and put the poopy dog in the house and gave him plenty of food and plenty of water to last the week. You got to eat from a full trough. And we headed on up in the Geo. And when I got out at 8:30, and, you know, pretty well, because of all this sort of little petty-ass little bullshit, me and Roxy weren't allowed really to go ahead and talk face-to-face to two inmates. I went ahead and looked, you know, visited one. Roxy visited the other so that we could go ahead and get the most visits. And the guy who was pleading NG, you know, who had was deemed incompetent to proceed and was on G2, you know, the full nut ward, he was allowed to eat what he craved, which was fried chicken thighs. See, when you're locked up in a prison or a jail or a nut house for years and they're spending $200,000 on you, they don't want you to have real animal fat. So you end up craving grease real badly. And the richest grease is the thigh meat of fried chicken. And you end up craving that intensely. So I went and bought a went ahead and bought two boxes of fried chicken at the grocery store, which is, used to be called Gerbus, but now it's called Mosier's, and Mosier's bought out Gerbus at the beginning of this year. And my friend, he just enjoyed, eating that fatty food. But my friend, who was awaiting trial, who hasn't been convicted of anything, all they let him have was a TV dinner. That's all he got, is a TV dinner. Now, that's not right. That's not right at all to treat people who are awaiting trial to, you know, who are awaiting trial to treat them worse than people who have been convicted. But that's what they do. Anyway, all he got was one TV dinner, and then after that, you know, they can't get another dinner for another month, for another week or so. So we went and visited them, and pretty well I was told about how they're treating them. And my friend, who was in the really nut ward, was treated a whole lot better than the, you know, the one who was relatively sane awaiting trial. But no, I mean, for all you people who believe that the red, white, and Jew saves your freedom or liberty, no, this is a police state. And I went up there essentially to go ahead and show this police state, to show that their little elections are nothing more than frauds, lies. And that's all it is. Once you understand that you don't have any freedom, and the only way you're going to get freedom is to exterminate, root and branch, those who go ahead and violate your rights, because they'll be moral. They will be moral, and they will pretend that they're immoral, they're moral people, when they're evildoers. And the only way to go ahead and get them to drop the sanctimony is to make them eat their spawn's testicles as you're skinning them out, as you're destroying them, as they're screaming and begging you for a merciful bullet after 3 or 4 days of torture. And you crucify them, you run them through a chipping mill, you feed their own spawn to them, you humiliate them, you destroy them. And what you do is you destroy any Uyghurs who go ahead and side with these people. That's the only way to go ahead and destroy Zogbots. They go ahead and they insinuate themselves in, and they eat, you know, they eat you out alive. But at the end of that, I've been up for 36 better hours, and pretty well after I made a few phone calls, I fell asleep and rolled over on my glasses and broke the side piece out of them. But I did get a full hour's sleep, but when you're driving a small car like that, you not only are tired because of not sleeping, but you're tired because you feel every little bump, every little pebble in those small cars with 12-inch tires. But the next day, I went ahead, and it was Monday, and I didn't have my lawsuit ready, so I decided to go ahead and show up Tuesday, on the very last day, and have Roxy serve this amended complaint from September 3rd of 2009, and to serve the new paper that I'd filed, but I hadn't got around to filing it Saturday, and much less Sunday. So Monday, I went ahead and got some sleep, and we got fed, and we went ahead and made two more visits, and at that time, I went ahead and visited a rather disturbed person, and you know, Roxy visited the guy who played NGRI, but you know, who'd killed his wife and two of his three children. And he's a nice guy, but you know, he was disturbed as well, but you know, but polite. And went ahead and bought another chicken dinner, and this guy, he ate 5 out of 8 pieces of greasy fried chicken. He enjoyed them, but he wanted to leave a half hour early. He wasn't used to visitors or anything, or a change of routine. And we went ahead, and I had to leave a half hour early. So the next day I went ahead and that morning I got up early, 4:30 in the morning, and I typed in a motion for summary judgment. And the motion for summary judgment was asking them to rule, the judge to rule summarily against the state of Missouri defendants and the political parties. Count one was to overturn 115.355, to where the state of Missouri says that if you have to go ahead and show up in order to go ahead and run for election, I say, well, this is the exact same thing that happens in all these foreign countries. They throw people in prison on trumped up charges so they can't go ahead and file. And then they claim that they conducted a fair, free, open, honest election by which their political opponents are in prison and can't run because they are in prison at the time. And they used to bitch about the Soviet Union doing that crap, and they used to bitch about everybody else doing this sort of thing. And what it boiled down to is that about Russia doing it, China do it. And when I was in the Nut House in 2008, they were bitching about this nigger named Morgan Tsvangirai, who him and his followers weren't allowed to run against Robert Mugabe in Zimbabwe. And they were bitching about how it was a fair government. Well, guess what? The thing about it is that Russia and China and Zimbabwe and Iran, they're honest. You run against them, they simply won't let you run. If you persist, they'll throw you in jail so you can't run. They don't pull this shit about going ahead and destroying your family with bogus child molestation charges and then put you in a nut house to where you can't run. See, they don't pretend. See, this is how Zog is acting so long. It's a mighty evil, multiracial, evil empire, and it laughs by pretending. It pretends that you have freedom. And what it does is that because it pretends that you have freedom, it pretends you can say whatever the hell you like. And you won't get punished for it. You won't get tasered for it. You won't get tortured for it. I'm looking at the news and it's about these pigs tasering people. Well, I have a solution for that. What you do is that you go ahead and you up these tasers and you go ahead and apply it to their children's genitals. And you go ahead and burn them out. You fry their little brains. And then you make the pigs eat their spawn. And that teaches them, but guess what? You don't taser people. You stop. You don't pull this shit. See, pigs are scared shitless that people are going to go ahead and exterminate them. And they're all on for a reason. But no, more of that here. I end up having some pigs show up. It's like Newton County. I had four pigs show up when I went to file. Well, I woke up Tuesday morning after visiting people, and I went ahead and I brought up my laser printer and my computer. And what I did is I filed the motion. I didn't get up to say too much about it because I was sort of paranoid that these people would go ahead and screw me over. Well, we got out there, and I got the thing printed out, and I got all the paperwork lined up in order. Seven filed for the state of Missouri, because Rule 4 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure says that in order to go ahead and serve a state government or municipality, you lay the service on the desk of the chief executive officer. So Roxy was going to go ahead and go to the state capitol building and lay something on the desk of the governor, the alleged governor of the state, Jay Nixon. And I went ahead and filed a service to where I said, hey, I'm going to go ahead and try, Roxy's going to go ahead and try to serve the Democrat and Republican Party. And since it was the last day, I thought maybe the Libertines would be there as well, and I could go ahead and serve Greg Tlepek or this guy named Nielsen, who's the chair of the Missouri Libertarian Party. And the service wasn't for this summary judgment. It was for the September 3rd, 2009 summary judgment. And a little puppy dog jump on my lap, a little Bellsley pup. He loves Daddy. He was there so glad when we came home after being gone for 2.5 days. But anyway, item one was pretty well demand that they allow prisoners who are not disqualified from running as candidates to be able to either file in absentia or to be taken to the place of filing so they can run for political office. Because that's something that should have happened from day one. There should not have been any such rule. And lest people say, well, you know, allowing criminals to run in absentia, well, this is foolish. Well, let me point out that the end of the Roman Republic came when Julius Caesar was not allowed to file for consul in absentia because they wanted to strip him of his army and then try him for treason against what he'd done as a consul 10 years previously. And Julius Caesar decided that he was not going to go ahead and fight for the rest of his life and be sent into exile or murdered judicially by what was called the Bono, or good men, but which was really just a bunch of selfish reactionaries. Julius Caesar was no wonderful man. He was a calculating sociopath who wanted Julius Caesar wanted power. Now, he wanted power, unlike, you know, Caligula and a few others. He wanted power to go ahead and get done what he thought needed to be done in order to save the Roman Republic. But what he did is he destroyed the Roman Republic, and what destroyed it was the fact that he was not allowed to run in absentia because the people who were in power at the time selfishly did not want him to be able to run. And thus, if he ran, you know, while he had an army, and then put down the army once he was elected consul, or took down the army once he was allowed to run, and then celebrate his triumph, and then on the same day he became consul and disbanded. They did not want a peaceful solution to this. So as the end result is that Julius Caesar came in, and he scattered. He scattered Pompey. He scattered the good men because they found out. They found out that Julius Caesar wasn't whiffing. He wasn't playing games. We crossed the Rubicon, and he made himself not only consul, he made himself dictator and consul for life. And there was a civil war. At the end of it, he dismissed his bodyguard, and I think he wanted to die young. He was finding that it was almost difficult to rule as a dictator when the people are not really with you. Yes, you can go ahead and claim that you want something to happen, but that doesn't mean that you can get it done. If people are not, in order to have power, you have to have, if not the actual, I'm going to have to plug my cell phone in because the battery is about dead. You need, if not only the actual connivance of power, you actually need the people not to go ahead and revolt or rebel. And he ended up being assassinated on the Ides of March, March 15th of B.C. 44. And as a result, his grand nephew Octavian took over, and there was more fighting for another 15 years until Octavian pretty well destroyed Antony and Cleopatra, and didn't claim to be king, but claimed to be something called imperator or emperor. But actually, he really just claimed to be nothing more than the first citizen. And he let people have the delusions of being able to have a republican form of government. But him and Julius Caesar and the good men, they destroyed their republic. And that's the same way what the Democrats and Republicans are doing. They're destroying this republic. It's not really a republic. It's an empire. But they're destroying the actual forms or the pretense of it. So anyway, for count one, I was asking that the means by which they deny people being able to run for governor or, well, run for whatever, be dismissed. And I asked the judge to rule on constitutionality and to pretty well say that, guess what? Revised Statute of Missouri 115.355 is overturned. You must allow candidates who you throw in jail for whatever reason to run in absentia or to be taken even in chains to the place to file where they can file. For count two, this was thanks to this other Zogbot, Trader Glenn Miller, who's making a big deal and everybody's whining. He's whining about his civil rights being destroyed. Well, this worthless bastard in 2006 destroyed the right of white nationalist candidates like myself openly to run for statewide office or state office in Missouri. Because what he wanted to do is he wanted to run as a Democrat against Roy Blunt, who I call Skunk Blunt, who's running for United States Senator against myself as well. He wanted to run as a Democrat, and for the first time ever, I thought about counting us to Glenn Miller, letting people know what a shithead he is. No, the answer is that I don't have the money to pay these ads. Trader Glenn Miller is a Zogbot. He is getting money from other Zogbots and other Zoglings, like Ashkenazi activists, like Ron Doggett and the rest of them. He's getting money to go ahead and essentially what he's done is he's said, well, now I'm a write-in candidate. And like Ashkenazi activists, well, Wilstead's campaign is not legitimate. It's not real. Well, guess what? I'm going to go ahead and get more votes than Trader Glenn Miller is going to get write-in votes, because once you're a write-in, Trader Glenn Miller would be lucky to get 666 votes. But what he is that he's pretending to be a white nationalist leader. Well, no, he's a rat. He's a rat that's paid for by Zog. He pretends to be a white nationalist leader. Anybody who believes that Trader Glenn Miller is a white nationalist leader don't know anything about Trader Glenn Miller, about how he went ahead and betrayed people, how he's taken money. And I wonder if he got money from the order or if he has been a rat ever since his days in the Army when he was probably spying on Klansmen by pretending to be one in the Army. He's a traitor, and he's an agent provocateur. He's a Zogbot. So, those who side with him. I mean, the thing about, and that's why I was trying to explain to Lewis Beam after he ran out of my office in August of 2000. I said, well, I'm going to pretend to like him. I'm pretending to be his buddy, but every single time he goes ahead, and he'll mention me as somebody who's a friend of his. And what I'll do is I'll tell the journalist or whatever involved that he's a traitor, that he's a rat, that he's a snitch, that he's despised within the movement by the real activists. And that's what I need to do. But the problem of it is just like Red Mike Vanderbo, or as I call Red Mike Vanderkite, these Zogbots are not only allowed in and paid for by government money and propped up by the SPLC, they're propped up by the Jews media pretending that these people are white nationalist leaders when they're not. All they are is traitors. But the thing about it is, if you go ahead and see somebody with Trader Glenn Miller, supporting Trader Glenn Miller, you're dealing with either a fool or a traitor himself, and you know enough not to have anything to do with it. See, Zog isn't going to go ahead and win by a candidate of Zogbot. So the reason why is that throughout history, you have always had these traitors. It doesn't matter how full the prisons and execution yards are full. Usually, if you have full prisons of, if you have full prisons of dissent, usually that means the empire is on its last leg, because the only way it can go ahead and stifle dissent is by jailing and murdering its dissenters. And once you end up having the natural leaders who are in these prisons, they will go ahead and eventually they will overthrow the regime with fire and with sword in this case, because there is no political order, peaceful order, to go ahead and take over at all. So the second one was to go ahead and do away with 115.357. Now in Missouri, the candidate filing fee doesn't go to the Treasury to halfway offset the cost of candidacy. No, it is set, is given to the political party. And essentially what it is it's a slush fund for these political parties to take this money, these filing fees, and do with it whatever they will. Now, for statewide office, in this case it's for state auditor and for United States senator, for those statewide offices, the filing fee is $200. For state rep, for state senator, it's $100. And for U.S. Congress critter, it's $100. And for state rep, and Missouri has the most state reps of any state except for Texas. For some reason, Missouri has 163 of these worthless parasites over less than about 10,000 or so actual voters. So Missouri has the largest state representative district of anybody except for Texas, for some reason. Texas is, what, 6-7 times bigger than Missouri? So, 5 or 6 times bigger than Missouri. I mean, both in literal area, but also in population. So, where was I? I went ahead and asked that rather than what Trader Glenn Miller did, and Trader Glenn Miller tried to run first as a Democrat, then a Republican, and then as a Libertarian. And these political parties handed back the money and said, well, guess what? He hasn't paid the filing fee because we didn't take it. Well, he did that in 2006 while I was locked up in the nut house, and then he went ahead and filed only against the Missouri Secretary of State, not against the political parties, like he should have. And the judge he drew was named Richard E. Doar, who dismissed my lawsuit against Rent Blunt on bogus things, and I couldn't fight it because Jews is capable of the Jews. Oh, okay. Your boy Johnson, I don't know. Johnson, you're not my boy. Okay. You're a Jew boy, but you're not my boy. But anyway, I'm looking at the chat here. I go ahead and, TalkShoe is buggy in that it'll go ahead and kick you out and do all sorts of stupid crap unless you go ahead and put in some nonsense. And I just went ahead and put in D, 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 D in order to go ahead and keep the thing functioning on my end. And TalkShoe is buggy. And so are a number of these shows, but what do you expect for something that's free? Something that's free is always going to be buggy. But anyway, Trader Glenn Miller went ahead and filed a lawsuit against only against Robin Carnahan, who was the Secretary of State at the time. And she's running for United States Senator, and she's going to win the Democrat primary. Anyway, Robin Carnahan went ahead and allowed. Now, if Robin Carnahan had really obeyed the law, she would simply say, "Hey, guess what, political parties? You can't discriminate on the basis of race, religion, or creed against any candidate. And like I was trying to tell these people when I went, is that this is already settled law. In the early 1940s, there was this nigger sharecropper named Lonnie Smith who wanted to vote in the Texas all-white primary. And the laws of Texas said, guess what? The Democrat Party of Texas is allowed not to allow you niggers to vote in it, much less run as a candidate in a Texas primary. And 1944 in Smith versus Allwright, and I should have the number of it case there, but it was decided in 1944. Just type in Smith versus Allwright and then comma election laws or civil rights, and you'll find out that the United States Supreme Court in 1944 ruled that, did I have anything for Easter? Just ham and taters here? Well, I don't know if Juice Stain got any, Juice Stain didn't have any ham, and neither did I. I think I ate leftovers. We had beef stew here at my house, and carrots and potatoes, and I thought I had was potato salad that was given to Roxy Free as a commodity, but turned out to be mashed potatoes. So we had beef stew here at here for Easter. We don't usually stand on this sort of thing. Do you see like Christian Day allow pork and ham? No. What happens if you're Christian Day? You're supposed to obey the Yahweh's dietary laws, and we're not allowed pork and ham. Now, occasionally, I don't make a big deal of it, because if you end up going to eating anywhere out fast food, or you end up eating any pastries are fried in lard. They're not fried in vegetable oil, because lard makes them fluffier. So, in many cases, if you really wish to go ahead and play kosher Jew, you can do that. But I don't make a big deal of it. But on the other hand, no, there's not going to be pork chops on the Linstead family table anytime soon. Occasionally I have, when I was in the Nut House, I went ahead and sort of relaxed some of the stuff, but generally the pork in many cases ends up making my heart beat faster too, and it's really not healthy for you. So it's not only a matter of because Yahweh tells you not to go ahead and eat, you know, pigs, but it's also a matter of that pork really however it may be processed or cooked, it's still not a good idea to eat this fatty meat. But on the other hand, I don't know. Every so often I get a craving for a bacon cheeseburger, so I don't know. But Jews, they're not allowed cheeseburgers. It's because of their Talmud coming into this. But I'm getting back to where in 1944 Lonnie Smith was pretty well granted by the United States Supreme Court the decision that, guess what, Texas Democrat Party, you need to go ahead and allow niggers to vote, even though the law says that they can't, because a political party is not a private organization. It's an organization seeking to have political power over others, including niggers. And therefore, you must allow niggers to vote in the Democrat Party election. Well, once niggers were allowed to vote on the political primary in Texas, it was just a matter of time before niggers were allowed to run for political office. And the Democrat Party, ever since though that decision, it went on in 1954, 10 years later, the Supreme Court ruled that niggers were allowed to pretty well attack white kids and integrated public schools in Brown versus Board of Education. So Smith v. Rawlite is deemed as a major law. Well, what happens is that 62 years after that 1964 decision, Trader Glenn Miller, he goes ahead and points out that, you know, guess what? Whites are the new niggers because of what I did. And he deliberately, I believe, blew that case so that I and any other real genuine white nationalist would not be allowed to run for political office. Okay. A little break here while I sip some root beer. Okay. And puppy dog, he's sitting on my lap. He just can't get enough of me since we left him last week. Left him behind, alone by himself. Poor little thing. But where was I? This was decided that, guess what, political parties, you're not allowed to discriminate on the basis of race, on the basis of religion, on the basis of creed. But they, you know, but what happens is in 2006, thanks to the treasonous attempts of Trader Glenn Miller, they go ahead, the political parties of Missouri, with the aid of the Missouri Secretary of State, pretty well rules that white men are the new niggers. They can be discriminated against. So, if you're an open white man, like myself, talking, with a racial religion of dual seed line Christianity, and with a creed of white nationalism, you can be discriminated against. You can be allowed not to essentially run as a candidate for public office. And I knew that they would do that. I knew exactly where it was headed. And that is pretty well what I said in my lawsuit against Obongo. Obongo is really peripheral to this lawsuit. It's just that I went ahead and named his name because I think it's a hell of a deal that a nigger can go ahead and run for president, and a nigger who ain't even a U.S. nigger, a Kenyan nigger, or an Indonesian nigger can become president of the United States, but a white man of impeccable birth is now allowed to run for governor or sheriff in Missouri. So how did that happen? How did that happen? The answer is that essentially whites are the new niggers, and they don't have any rights that the Jew need respect. We're the new niggers. Us white men are the new niggers. And since we don't have any place in deciding how we are lived and what rules are passed and what laws are passed, then guess what? We don't have any obedience. We don't have any loyalty. We don't have any reason to support this regime. Anyway, Geert Wilder is an Indonesian queer as a defender of Europe. It's bad. Well, I don't know, this Geert Wilder, from what I gather, he's taking the part of Jews against, the Muslims. And the answer is that what you do is you kick out both the Jews and you kick out both the Muslims, and you let the Muslims and Jews fight it out over this bandit state of Israel, which these Jews actually have no claim to at all, because they're just nothing more than the Ashkenazi Khazar Hittites who Joshua ran out way back when. Jews are not Israelites. And Israelites are not Jews. But getting on with what I was saying is that I went ahead and asked that Revised Statute of Missouri 115.357 be amended to where no political party is allowed to discriminate against anyone on the basis of their race, their religion, or their creed. Which is what old nigger Luther King was supposedly for. But guess what? White man, he don't get to go ahead and run as an open white man. Not in Missouri. Not thanks to Trader Glenn Miller. Now here he is pretending to be a white nationalist candidate. Don't make me laugh. Don't make me laugh. Anybody who supports Trader Glenn Miller is supporting treason, because he's the one who went ahead and destroyed the ability of any open white nationalist to go ahead and run. Anyway, I knew that they would be pulling that shit, so hence the 2008, hence the revision. And so on September 3rd, 2009, which I was having Roxy serve, these people who had not answered the service. And since they had not asked the service, I asked for a summary judgment. And I wrote that any political party, I want to run as a Republican, if the Republican Party denies me a chance to run as an open white man, I'm asking they be banned for two election cycles. That they be banned in this election cycle for denying me the right to run as a openly white nationalist candidate in 2010, and also that they be banned in 2012 and not allowed to run a political primary until they learn to respect the rights of white men. Now, I decided to go ahead and do that with the Republican Party precisely because it's the Republicans who pretend to be racist, who pretend, you know, that they have a little code word racism or something like that. They're not. They, you know, they suck up to niggers. They suck up to Jews. They're really the Jew plutocrat party. See, the Republican Party has been fucking the white man since 1860. Why would anybody, you know, I mean, vote, a white man voting for a Republican is like a Tyson's white chicken voting for Don Tyson. Not very smart. Not very smart at all. It's stupid. Stupid to do that. But since they pretend to be for whites, I decided that what I would do is that I would run as a Republican candidate. Well, I got up there. And the first thing I was going to do was go ahead and file, and I knew the Republican Party would pretty well, you know, disavow me. But I had this service on September 3rd, 2009. Now, since this is an amended complaint, it has to be served, and they hadn't answered. That's why I was asked for summary judgment. But I was asking for a summary judgment. Summary judgment was a new motion. It doesn't need to be served, but the complaint does. So I went to the Secretary of State's office, and they said, no, 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 they want you to go over there and pay the filing fee. So I went ahead and found out, and they were one of the people I was going to go ahead and file. They weren't there to accept the filing fee. So I drove over to Dunklin, and there was some little weasel named Chris or something like that, and he's just a typical little Republican fag like I used to see around, Run Blunt. What you end up having is that you end up having these little parasites of suits who don't do anything, but who live like parasites, who think they're oh so smart and oh so wonderful, and they live off of, you know, they live off of white people. They live off the system here. They're just little parasites who just think that they're such smart little wire pullers that they're going to get whatever the hell they want to. Well, anyway, it was a hill, and I managed to go ahead and get the GO, and I managed to get Roxy to, you know, say, hey, you've been served. Because Roxy, according to the rules, she's over 18, and she's not directly named in the suit, and therefore she can serve it, rather than the sheriff serve it. So I said, you've been served, so she called back to the car, and I went ahead and signed this check, and I got a receipt for the check saying that, yes, I could go ahead and go back and file as a Republican. I was talking to this, you know, weasel named Chris Rohde or Pody or something like that. Well, he was a sneaking little wig, you know, he was a sneaking little wigger faggot of some sort or another. And I said, okay. So anyway, we go up the street to Madison Street because, you know, the Republican is sort of off from Madison Street on the corner of Dunklin. I went up Madison Street and drove by, and I got Roxy out and, handed her the service for that. And the Democrat Party, I went ahead and stopped the car and then drove it around and picked her up on the up. And Roxy said, hey, could you go ahead and just sign your name, who I've given this to and what that time and date it was. And the Democrats went ahead and signed this thing. Need as you please, and we've been served. Well, guess what? Yeah, that's what gets me, is that sometimes Democrats, even though they're evil, Democrats in many cases have far more class than Republicans. That's a hell of a deal, isn't it? But they do. You know, they started out as Thomas Jefferson's Party of the People, and they got away from that, you know, during the Jew Franklin Delano Roosevelt's time. But they still, at least, you know, have a little bit of class because they do believe in government. And they do sort of understand that if you are going to run a government, you've got to go ahead and pretend that it's a government of everybody. Now, they lie, of course. They've been taken over by Jews and Uyghurs and niggers and the rest. But in many cases, you know, Democrats have more class than Republicans. So they went ahead and signed it. So then I went to the state capitol building and let Roxy off and parked the car. And I had to get a wheelchair because she walked up there and there was a whole bunch of these little weasels in suits. I said, "Are you politicians? Or you just hangers on?" And they wouldn't answer that here. They're little hangers on. So like you see on "Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?" I mean, Jay Nixon has a little cadre of ass lickers too. You know, just like Runt Blunt did. I mean, there ain't much difference between Jay Nixon and Runt Blunt, other than Jay Nixon is a little bit smarter than Runt Blunt. Runt Blunt was nothing more than a little ass pop, you know, ass puppet here, sock puppet, you know, of whoever wanted him to do whatever. And the Republican, you know, the Republicans raped and looted the state, and their interests did. That's why Runt Blunt only had one term, because he pretty well screwed the state over real good. But what happens with newbie and Roxy says she's been served, and there was a big old envelope with the state of Missouri, Jay Nixon, ex-governor Matt Runt Blunt, the Missouri Department of Mental Health, Robin Carnahan, and the rest of them. And you know, pretty well, I went ahead, I got her to serve it, then wheeled Roxy out to the car, and then I went to the federal district court. And all the service we could do in Jeff City was done. So I went ahead and had them file stamp and file the motion for summary judgment. And then had them file the motion for summary judgment. And then we went back out. But as I was going out there, here's this little Chris Rohde weasel Republican coming out. And I know the little weasel has been running up there, scurrying to where it's placed the file, and he has pretty well told him, don't take it filing. We're not going to allow him to file. We're not going to allow him to file the white man. And I knew the little weasel had, you know, gone ahead and was, you know, pretty well telling the Secretary of the State's offices, guess what? The people don't get to elect the candidates. The people, you know, this is not an open primary. And it certainly is an open primary where the white man gets to go ahead and run. Fuck the people. Fuck the, you know, the concept of elections here. We get to go ahead. These elections are just a farce. We get to say who can run. And that's exactly what this little weasel did. So, I what I get up there is that then this little guy who claimed to be a master of federal elections here. Well, he's just another little drone, a little bald-headed little drone here. I don't know what it is about people who have, you know, shaved heads here, but they all think they're just super fascist. You know what I mean? Is it wise to support the Democrat Party to further the end of this regime? The thing about it is that you have two wings. You have the Republican, you have the Democrat. Let me ask you something here. Have you ever seen a one-winged vulture? A vulture with one wing, another which is shot out from it here, just blasted the air by a shotgun blast. How far can a vulture with just one wing soar? How well can a vulture with one wing prey upon whatever it can kill? The answer is that a one-winged bird, a one-winged vulture, a one-winged eagle, is an animal that's going to starve to death because it can't fly. It's not mobile. Once you go ahead and you allow essentially Democrats, and this is you know, these Democrats, they don't have the brains to figure that out here. Smart Democrat, you know, is like Robin Carnahan, who goes ahead and supports the idea of pretending that we have open, free, fair elections as Secretary of State. Because once it's understood that these elections are a farce, then what rules? The answer, what rules, is violence. That's what rules. And that's what I'm trying to do, is I'm trying to bring back the politics of the gun to where if you don't like what happens, just go ahead and do to them what they've done to you. If you hate these people, destroy them. Don't worry about the morality of it. Survival is the highest morality. That's why we believe in the Great Tribulation. To where all these weeds and tares are destroyed and exterminated once and for all. They're finished off. There's nothing more left of them. See, they've made it to where, guess what? You can't sue a judge. You can't sue a pig that tortures you, kills you. They'll protect their own. Well, guess what? What you figure out is, guess what? You become the policeman, and you go ahead, and you rape, and you murder, and you torture, and you destroy your enemies. That's what the white man needs to do. He needs to go ahead and, you know, essentially tell these criminals that, you know, the kindest thing I could do would just be summarily execute you for your treason. Because you don't want a trial. Because the trial will be 15 minutes. And the thing about it is there will be a confession, just like, you know, Iron Felix Dzerzhinsky did. You don't want a trial. A trial ain't good for you. Anyway, going on, I go up there, and I got a little thing, and this Charles Lamb says, well, I don't know how to tell you this, but I've gotten something, and let me dig this paper out, and I'll put it up on my webpage. I've got something from from Lonnie Smith, Missouri Republican State Committee, Ronald Reagan Republican Center. Yeah, Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan really was a senile old geezer who was used to pretty well destroy America. Dear Ms. Wood, whoever the hell Ms. Wood is, please be advised that the filing fee check for Mr. Martin Lester is being returned to him by the U.S. Mail today and will not be deposited by the Missouri Republican Party. Lloyd Smith. Well, guess what? That little weasel went ahead and told Lloyd Smith that, you know, hey, guess what? There's a check from Pastor Martin L.D. Livingston, Church of Jesus Christ Christian Aryan Nations of Missouri. Do you want us to deposit this check, or can we refuse to let him run? And guess what? This is what this Lloyd Smith did. See, somebody showed up. You know that beaners are allowed to run in their, you know, in the Republican, you know, candidacy for United States Senate, but guess what? An open white man who believes in dual seed line Christian identity, he's not allowed to run. So sure, I'm not allowed to run because I'm an open white man who says I'm for white men, and because I believe in a Christian identity religion, I'm not allowed to run. Well, let me tell you this: the Republican Party needs to be destroyed. And what I think it needs to be done is because it did this, you know, did what it was, and this little weasel probably didn't even bother to read the filing. But I call is that, hey, if I'm not allowed to run, I want, since you're not able to run an open, fair, free primary election, you shouldn't be allowed to run a primary election. You should be banned from running any primary election in the state of Missouri for two election cycles. Just like you did in 2006 and 2008, by default. See, Traitor Glenn Miller's candidacy is to go ahead and, you know, put into people's minds that guess what? You can't run as a Republican. You can't run as a Democrat. You can't run as a Libertarian. So I go up there, and Mr. Lamb says, well, I'm sorry, but I've been begged, you know, by the chairman of the Missouri Republican Party not to take your candidacy. I said, I don't care. He isn't the one who gets to decide this. I went ahead and told him about the case of Smith versus Allwright. Well, guess what? Political parties can't discriminate against anybody on the basis of their race, their religion, and their creed. Even though I'm a white man, I should not be discriminated, certainly not by the Republican Party, because guess what? The Republican Party, if it's telling a white man that guess what? You're white, all you need to do is just go ahead and vote for us here. You don't get to go ahead and run. You don't get to have any say in what happens to the Republican Party. The Republican Party gets to go ahead and sell you out to the interests of the Jews. We get to go ahead and declare a whole bunch of wars. But you don't, oh, well, what happens is my talk show connection was lost here. So I don't know what to, I don't know what to say. I'm just going to go ahead and continue. And then I'm going to go ahead at the very end and, well, hold on. I'm going to go ahead and move this window over. I'm going to go ahead and do a screenshot. And then I'm going to go ahead and reconnect. How do you like that? TalkShoe is buggy. TalkShoe is buggy as can be, but it's free. And it's sort of like, oh, shoot, what the hell? Okay. Okay, I need to go ahead and log on again. Yeah, I need to log on again. Okay, I'm signing in again. Alrighty. Well, it looks like I picked up a few people. But I did lose the transcript except for the print screen thing, but oh well. Okay, going on. I said, look, by law, this has already been decided, you know, in the United States Supreme Court, and I think as a result, you know, there's going to end up being a lawsuit over this matter. Why don't you go ahead and get to me in writing, and why don't you go ahead and call Robin Carnahan? Because Robin Carnahan is going to go ahead and end up being sued. Well, she is already being sued. I mean, I went ahead and showed them the filing for today, and I went ahead and showed them a copy of the suit. And essentially, I came ready because I knew that this would happen. And I said, you need to go ahead and talk to Robin Carnahan. He tried and lasted for about 45 minutes or so. And I said, hey, you need to go ahead and get the thing written down here in writing. And he did try to call Robin Carnahan. Robin Carnahan here wasn't taking the calls or whatever. And he decided to go ahead and do what the Republican Party told him to do. And he was a nice enough guy. Mr. Lamb was nice enough, you know, nice enough guy. And, you know, here comes some pigs here, and they're giving me the smarmy pig shit about, well, what are you going to do? Well, essentially, are you a, you know, pigs don't like anything new. And I explained to him, and I went ahead and talked to him, and I said, look, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and try to run as a Republican. I'm not going to go ahead and try to get the Democrat, because as I look at it, if I get the Republicans banned, I don't want the Democrats to be banned. I want the Democrats to be able to go ahead and hold a primary election without the Republicans, to destroy Republicans and the pretense that we have two-party system. No, we actually have a one-party system to where the Republicans lie that they're for white people, and the Republicans tell truthfully that they're for the Jews and niggers. You know what I mean? When actually the Republicans are against the white people, screwing the white man over since 1860. So what I'll do is I'll go ahead and do that. And previously I talked to some Constitution parties, and they sort of said, well, maybe y'all run as a senator. Well, no. Anyway, I ended up taking a picture of this pig on my cell phone, and, you know, essentially he was telling me that he just enforces the law, he doesn't make it here, and he was quite impressed by my knowledge of Christianity and a few other things here, and I went ahead and was showing him, hey, look, I knew this crap would happen. Guess what? Here's this new court filing. I just filed this today. Found this an hour ago. And I said, every single time I go up here, be it 1996 or 1998 or 2004, almost all the time there ends up being a lawsuit involved in me running for this office. Because I know exactly what you idiots are going to do. You don't care for real elections. You just care for pretending to have elections. And by the time I go up there ends up being a lawsuit. Now, This lawsuit in 2010 is just a lawsuit that's carried over from 2008. But I knew exactly what you people would do. So I'm not going, you know, he's like, well, what are you going to do? Well, I'm not going to throw a tantrum. I'm not going to go ahead and preach violence. What I'm going to do, and I'm not going to run as a Democrat. So finally they ended up getting in writing, and I said, okay, I want to run as a libertarian. Are libertarians there? No. I said, I want to go ahead and run as a libertarian because, hey, I owe the libertarians a good grudge sucking anyway. I went ahead and ran against them in 1998, and they were all pissed off because I ran for governor in 1996. So I ran as a libertarian, and then, hey, they'll either keep me on the ballot or they won't. And I pointed out that, guess what? They've had problems with me since 1996. And they know that they would be go ahead and be sued. They knew full well. And back in 2009, they were talking about having a law pretty well aimed at myself, and they decided, no, we don't want to do that. And they actually acknowledged that I was a libertarian county committeeman. They actually sent me a Show Me Freedom newsletter. And from what I gather, I wouldn't have been surprised they tried to kick me off the ballot. But I think wiser heads prevailed, and libertarians figured out that, guess what? If Liz said actually wants to run as a Republican, if he doesn't win the lawsuit, he'll go back to Republicans and away from the libertarians, and we will do well by it. Because understand this, the Republican Party has essentially declared war, overt war, on white candidates. It said we don't care what white people want. If you're white and you're a proud white man, we're going to keep you from running. Well, guess what, Republicans? You can't afford to say that because you've got to pretend that you're for white people. You've got to pretend to be quasi-racist to even want to say that you're not and electing a nigger, because what happens is that if white people don't vote for you, you're dead meat. And I think Roy Blunt was doomed because he's despised outside the 7th district, the brain-dead 7th, of which I am smack in the middle of, in the most brain-dead of the counties, Newton County. Because if Roy Blunt doesn't get a sizable proportion of the vote to overturn, you know, Kansas City and St. Louis are going to vote for Robin Carnahan. See, we got the same situation in Missouri that Zog had. You have the Blunts who are like the Bushes, and you have the Carnahans who are like the Clintons. And Robin Carnahan, I think, was going to go ahead and win because, well, essentially, demographics is destiny. And the Democrats are going to go ahead and take over. It's long since time they took over. They took over with Claire McCaskill, and I ain't going to get into how I sort of helped Claire McCaskill beat Jim Talent, just like I helped Carnahan beat Ashcroft in 2000. In any case, I think that this is going to end up being the death knell, and I think that in many cases they're going to put the blame on me. But what you end up having is that you tend to leave, go nowhere, parties like Constitution Party alone. I could have filed as a Constitution Party delegate, but like I've said before, I leave the Constitution Party alone. And the reason of it is that they're irrelevant is what they are. They're totally irrelevant. I mean, this crap wouldn't have happened here if I'd have stuck. You know, I didn't get thrown in jail until I left the Libertoons and the Reform parties and all these go-nowhere parties alone. I didn't have any problem until I tried to run as a Republican. Then I ended up having the problem, okay? So, yeah, some guy will say, well, maybe you ought to run as a Constitution Party candidate. Now, one of these little though, I said, look, your constipation, your bill of goods ain't worth the paper they're written on. I'm not going to mess with it. And as I look at, if the Libertoons go ahead and kick me off the ballot on the basis that I'm a big white nationalist racist, well, guess what? They get banned too, along with the Republicans. But, it's been a week. It's been a full week. And I'm still on there, and I think what they're going to do is they're just going to go ahead and look at it to where here's a chance for them to become relevant. you know, like I went ahead and sent an email to Greg Telepic. I said, look, you're going to have to get used to the fact that for now, you have Super Nazi and the two dorks running. You know what I mean? Two people that nobody really knows. And the thing about it is that this year, if the Lutheran Party does not get 2% in the general election statewide, you know, they should have run their piece-of-shit lawyer, Mitch Moore, as a lawyer. That way they could have gone ahead and made ballot access. But if they don't make it 2% this year, they're going to lose ballot access for the first time since 1992. They're going to lose ballot access. Probably some of what they're thinking of is, look, at least we have Super Nazi. Super Nazi will go ahead and attract all the nuts. And all, I mean, you got to realize, in any social order, 5% of the population is perpetually pissed off at everything. I don't care if you had Jesus Christ running things. 5% of the population is going to be pissed off about it. So, I don't think since they took so long, I don't think I'm going to be kicked off the Libertarian Party ballot. But, I mean, that was the most important thing that was going on. So anyway, well, what happens is Tom Metzger was elected once or twice. No, Tom Metzger was not elected. David Duke was. And David Duke is essentially, he made state legislator in Louisiana. And he got fairly close, but David Duke is really a Zogbot. He collects money from fools. He's gone ahead and betrayed quite a few people. He runs Spurfront, and when I'm talking about invasion of the Zogbots, David Duke is a big Zogbot. Trader Glenn Miller is a Zogbot. By that, I mean Agent Provocateur. Is Tom Metzger a Zogbot? No. Tom Metzger is a genuine article. I sort of knew that Tom Metzger wouldn't much care for me allying myself with Harold Covington. Harold Covington's a genuine article. Whigger Swill, he's in with Trader Glenn Miller, and you know he's a Zogbot too. So you don't trust these people. I mean, what they do is they pretend to be for you, but they don't get anything accomplished. Not at all. Now, what did David Duke get accomplished? From my gather, he didn't get anything accomplished. He certainly didn't get, you know, as one member of the lowest house of anything, he didn't get anything accomplished. Now, I listened to Jim Giles, and he's talking, well, I'd run for your local rep if I had to do it over again. No, you wouldn't, Jim Giles, because you're not going to get elected as state rep. And even if you do, you're not going to accomplish anything with about another 100 idiots. How in the world, a state rep, what happens? I could have run for state rep. And there's only about 10,000 voters or less in there. And heck, I could run as a white nationalist, whatever. And you know, I've told these people to try to go ahead and form their own little party, like the Southern, you know, like the Southern League of the South. I told them, just take over the Libertoons. Just take over the Libertoons. Get all your little county people who live out in the county to go ahead and run and take over all these little districts. Yeah. I'm not going to, you know, I mean, if I won an election, probably I'd end up getting shot. The thing is not to go ahead, because, there's no election, there's no way to vote ourselves out of this thing. All you can do is allow things to run to their natural course. I'm sort of like the German general staff, which said in 1914 that the situation is hopeless, but not serious. You know, there's no electoral way to go ahead and vote out the rascals. I mean, that's what they want you to believe, but it isn't. They won't even allow an open white man. See, I knew full well, that I wouldn't be allowed on the ballot. And if there were, you know, there's 11 or 12 idiots, including Skunk Blunt. He's going to win. He's going to win the primary election. But what he didn't want is he didn't want Super Nazi making fun and telling the Republican Party faithful the Republican Party is for the white man. So what do they do? They go ahead and refuse to allow the white man to run. But guess what? I can't get. I went ahead and handed a copy of that thing to Associated Press, and Associated Press won't do anything. Guess what? They will make a big deal about Trader Glenn Miller, because Trader Glenn Miller, even if you don't know he's a rat, you know he's a pathetic old drunk. He comes across as a pathetic old drunken skunk. And what happens, liberals, they like running against pathetic old drunken treasonous skunks and rats, because Trader Glenn Miller is a caricature of the inbred, of the hillbilly. You know, who runs around, molests his daughter, is drunk all the time here. Trader Glenn Miller, he fitted real good in the Klan because, hey, he was an Anglo-Mestizo Klansman. You know what I mean? What's a hibernator? Well, it's short for hibernian nigger. You know what I mean? So, hibernigger is an Irishman, usually a mackerel snapper, papist, something like that. Okay? Anyway, hibernigger. Someone was asking about that on the chat. So, anyway, I knew what would happen. And I pretty well took advantage, and the Libertarian Party seems to have backed off. In the case of the Constitution Party, I call Edgar Steele, I call him the Whigger Whimperer. He was trying to run for governor of Idaho. And this nigger who these rogue Mormons elected as chairman of the Idaho Party wouldn't allow him to run. So you end up having these stupid race traitor Mormon Whiggers who go ahead and take over this minor party, and they don't allow Edgar Steele to run. Your minor political parties, be they Libertoon or Constitution or whatever, you got the same sort of people. You got little politicians. And the ones who can't make it is Republicans or Democrats. I mean, fourth or fifth rate political hacks, well, you end up having fifth or sixth rate political hacks with not a bit of vision. The Constitution Party used to be known as the U.S. Taxpayers Party, and it was founded by a Jew named Howard Phillips, a Khazarian Jew who pretended to be Christian. Jews end up owning all these here little false fronts here, and they bring up people like Trader Glenn Miller. The thing about it is, you're not going to get anything from the news media. I don't have anybody going ahead and saying, well, you're suing Obongo, and your lawsuit is still out. I mean, I like all these other birth or suit. My lawsuit is still up. You know what I mean? All right, it's over there somewhere. So, anyway, there's a bunch of stuff coming, there's a bunch of stuff coming up. But anyway, Trader Glenn Miller, the Jews, he's up in New York. They're whining and they're pissing and they're moaning. But guess what? Trader Glenn Miller is a Zograt. He did exactly what they said. Because in 2004, I was trying to get him run for United States Senate because I was running for governor. And Trader Glenn Miller essentially said his witness protection people would allow him to run. So hey, 2006, I'm out of the picture. No, Trader Glenn Miller ran so he would lose. And he ran contrary to this white freedom party that he was talking about here, that Alex Linder is. Alex Linder is another traitor. Contrary to what they did is, they didn't form any political party. What they did is they ruined it so that openly white men cannot run on a major political ballot in Missouri. Now, I imagine the Constitution Party, they would have been a little bit antsy about it, but I didn't want to go ahead and run on there. I was aiming for the Republicans. I could have gone ahead and tried to run as a Democrat, but I didn't want to run as a Democrat. I don't want the Democrat Party banned in Missouri. I want the Republican Party banned in Missouri, and I don't really give a crap if the Missouri Libertarian Party is banned. See what happens, the Republican Party is one and the same, because when they go ahead and say that openly white men are not allowed to run for office there, guess what? They can't go ahead and tell white people that they have their best interests in hand, can they? And when they go ahead and essentially admit that they do not care for open white people, well, guess what? White people won't vote for them anymore. If you're a white man, do not vote. I can't. It's just like in 2008 here. I can't tell you. I cannot tell you to vote for the damn nigger, and I won't because it's against Yahweh's law. But guess what? I can tell you not to vote for the McCainiac. I can tell you not to vote for him. So if the nigger gets in, well, good. That nigger getting in has been the best thing for the revised militia movement. It's been the best thing for the so-called Tea Parties. It's really been the best thing for Republicans. But the Republicans are blowing it. You know what I mean? Anyway. Edgar Steele, there's a lot of people think Edgar Steele is a Zogbot. They think that he was out to betray Butler. He didn't do a very good job. Butler lost his farm, but, in Idaho screwed up. It's run by Jews to where Idaho's the only place where if you're a defendant, you've got to go ahead and pay in order to defend yourself. And that's what happened to Butler. The jury screwed him over and the rest of it. Proud KKK leader, run for Senate from Missouri. Well, I need a bunch of bloggers pretty well tell about Trader Glenn Miller being a rat and traitor and pretty well putting a link to my forum at whitenationalist.org/forum about what a big traitor he is. But the thing about it is that most of the white nationalist movement does know about Trader Glenn Miller. But you're not going to go ahead and get anything said by the Jews media because he is the sort of character they want to run, an idiotic Klans leader who's not going to get anywhere. Trader Glenn Miller, no matter how much money he gets from Zogbots, if he spent about $2,000, when he ran in 2006, how many votes did he get? Well, guess what? He got 23 votes. In Lawrence, Ozark, Greene, and Taney County, he didn't get a single one from the other 8 or 9 counties in this district. He didn't get none from Newton County. He didn't get none from Jasper County. He didn't get anything from Dowell County. He didn't get anything from Barry County. He only got 2 votes from Taney County, and the rest of the 21 was Trader Glenn Miller relatives and probably case managers. 23 votes. How many is he going to get for the state of Missouri? He'll be lucky to get 666 votes. All this is just a Zog false front. Now, I want to go ahead and change from that to another thing that's been going on, and that's been the militia movement. Way back in 1994, there was this Jew named Mike Vanderbilt. I had given him the term Red Mike because he claimed to be an ex-communist. I said, no, you're not an ex-communist. He tried to get in to this Gadsden militia rally run by Mike Kemp and Jeff Randall. And since 40%, even Don Black hates, no, Don Black don't hate Trader Glenn Miller. What happens is that Ron Doggett, who works with David Duke, and, Sperm Front is another Zog false front. You're not going to hear anything about my candidacy on Sperm Front because I'm banned over there. But they know better than openly support Trader Glenn Miller because then they'll be known as traitors. But you end up having Ron Doggett, who worked with David Duke, and Don Black is essentially David Duke's little sock puppet. Runs a little for him. Spurfront, it just essentially Zog pays for it. And what happens is Don Black just goes ahead and collects the money. It's just like Trader Glenn Miller's campaign. Zog is paying for it. All Trader Glenn Miller is doing is just catching liquor money. If you want to do something for Trader Glenn Miller's campaign, send him a voucher to the Brown Derby Liquor Store for a case of Jim Beam and actually do the right thing and guzzle it all up at once here, so he won't just shit and piss and, you know, puke over himself. They'll stop breathing here. Tell Trader Glenn Miller to drink up the entire case all at once here. Do the right thing. I see a picture of him in the local news. And old Trader Glenn Miller is a 70-year-old rat with liver spots here. I'm hoping that this campaign will just push him over the edge to where those liver spots, they'll just go ahead and turn that Anglo Mestizo all together brown. He'll just be one big old liver spot. And then he'll turn yellow and croak off and die. You know, the worthless rat bastard. You know what I mean? Anyway, getting on to the militia. Red Mike was a fat old Khazar from Ohio. He moved down to the South. He's a communist and a Jew communist, and he wanted to get on the Randall property for the Gadsden Meet, but about 40% of these people were Christian Identity militias, the real militias. And since Red Mike, he likes waving around his little .45, you know, because he's a coward. He pulls it mainly on women, like Carol Edwards and Pam Beasley, who was screwing his big, you know, his big trader partner, John Parson, and that bastard died. Pretty well, they existed to spy on the real militias, which were mainly Christian Identity and Klan Run. And Red Mike is just an FPLC militia general. They won't allow him on the place because the Jew would probably go ahead and run waving his .45, and you end up having all these Christian Identity militiamen. They wouldn't put up with his shit. They just plugged the fat old Jew. And then Mike Kemp and Randall would have had to worry about what are they going to do with the fat Jew who just got plugged. And they decided that they didn't need that botheration, and they wouldn't allow him on the place. So they wouldn't allow him in the gate here to bother people. And Red Mike, Pam Beasley went ahead and called me, you know, because they had a little I don't know if Red Mike, I asked Red Mike with a faggot or something like that here, but essentially Parsons got caught being an FBI agent and testified to that, and then Red Mike had to go ahead and back off and pretend that he was big disappointed. But he's, according to Pam Beasley, he was still big buddies with John Parsons. And from what I gather, they went ahead and reported to the FPLC. So Red Mike is just an FPLC militia general. And his job is to go ahead and say, no, we're constitutional militias. These Christian Identity neo-Nazis, they're not real militias. And you know, I point out is there is no such thing as a constitutional militia. The People's Militia was overturned by this so-called Constitution. Article 1. Section 8 says that the militia was taken away from the people and given to the states, and the federal government can federalize it anytime they want to. The federal government pays for this militia. The federal government arms this militia. The federal government gives its code of conduct. Now, between world wars, most of these so-called state militias were just National Guards, and they got called up and federalized. About the first thing that happened was that their little state-run, state-appointed officers, you know, their generals, a lot of them were, you know, kept as generals, but the regular army actually had, you know, a assistant brigadier or major general running things. That's the way it was here. So there is no such thing as a constitutional militia, and there never was. It was done away by the Constitution. If you go ahead and read the Virginia Ratifying Acts, Patrick Henry and George Mason said the same thing. Guess what? This Constitution is doing away with these people's militias. It's putting it up in favor of these federal select militias. And Patrick Henry hated it. So I point out is that guess what, Red Mike? Your first constitutional cavalry regiment is really not constitutional militia at all. It's just what I call Red Mike's bullshit gang of four or five horseless mantoids. Because I don't think you have any horses either.
No.
You don't have any tanks. I don't think the governor, you know, the governor of Alabama didn't go ahead and make you a real militia. But guess what? You're not a constitutional militia. Who's this, Avenger?
Yeah, I'm in South Carolina.
Okay. You Chris and Danny or what?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Essentially, I'm talking about Red Mike. Well, anyway, the last week when I was up there, all heck was breaking loose, and I didn't have time to deal with it, but Red Mike goes ahead and tells people to break the windows of the Democrats because they are passing this law here. You know what I mean?
Okay. Can I ask you about something a little bit different topic? What's your take on this Oklahoma City, McVeigh, Southern Poverty Law Center?
Okay, the Southern, you know, what happens is with Timothy McVeigh, I never actually knew Timothy McVeigh, but I knew a number or knew of a bunch of people who were with him. I was actually invited by Millar to go visit his compound in Elohim City, and even then everybody knew that Millar was pretty well telling the feds a number of stuff. I don't know if you ever actually met, you know, Robert Millar, but Millar did not look white, you know what I mean? And he yelled and screamed about the monkeys, but essentially he looked like one himself. But he was another Zogbot. And what it boils down to is that he didn't want to be Wacoized. So yeah, he was knocking on. But you end up having a Gary Elston. He married one of Millar's daughters or granddaughters, and essentially, they knew all about it. And with Timothy McVeigh, when he got convicted, I started a unfinished short story called The Manchurian Oswald's Right Buttock. And I said, well, if you looked at the Manchurian candidate, well, McVeigh is the Manchurian Oswald. When he got arrested, he did the right thing. He said that the Army Intelligence and the CIA implanted a microchip in his buttock. So I said that what happens is that the Phineas Priesthood and Christian Identity, why, we went ahead and we inserted a microchip in his right buttock, and as a result, these two buttocks with these microchips, inserted by the CIA, they're fighting for Timothy McVeigh's soul and trying to tell him what to do. And people thought that was a hilarious concept, but, you know, the feds knew Timothy McVeigh was coming there. You know what I mean?
I've heard that there's a third bomber that had something to do with the Southern Poverty Law Center and a man named Kurt Lyons.
Well, what happens is Kurt Lyons, you know, Kurt Lyons is actually a lawyer, and I don't, I don't think he's a federal informant. He's an actual lawyer who has done a good deal of good for the Southern cause. The SPLC is just like the SPLC acts like the propaganda arm of the militia. You end up having people like Mark Pitcavage, who's a Jew, and essentially of Red Mike Vanderbilt. And he's, you know, I think he's a Jew too, or he's certainly a Shabbos wigger at the very least. And what he does is that every single time, when I'm talking about agent provocateurs, you end up having these Jew-run organizations. You know, and what they do is they control the opposition. They control the opposition by getting in charge of it. Red Mike is an SPLC plant. His job was to go ahead and argue against the SPLC and make people think, well, no, I'm not SPLC. Well, no, according to Pam Beasley, he was working with John Parsons, who was a known FBI informant, and he was calling the SPLC every night. In 1998, in May, he was over at John Hassey's, and you had these militia generals, and she called me up, and I called her a whore, and she's a dominating, little bitch. But, you know, I actually met her and seen John Parsons in December of 1995, and Parsons was, you know, was a tri-straits militia. He was talking about how he turned in Crazy Willie Lampley, who was Chris Randetti, and you know, Willie Lampley, his wife, and a few other fools got a number of years because
I've heard about that Willie Lampley case.
Yeah, well, Willie Lampley was he's a genuine article, but he's a little bit nutty. You know what I mean? That's why he was called Crazy Willie before he got thrown in jail. You know what I mean?
I was reading the American Free Press, where it used to be called the Spotlight years ago, and they tried to make a connection to this third bomber and Kirk Lyons and the Southern Poverty Law Center, saying they brought this person over from Germany.
Okay, Andreas Strassmeyer.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
Andreas Strassmeyer, from what I gather, I mean, Zog planned this thing to happen. I mean, you had Carol Moore. You have Dennis and Daniel Mahan, and they were from Tulsa. And Dennis is the loudmouth, and his twin brother, Daniel, and I never met him, but essentially Daniel ends up having to apologize for Dennis's big mouth. And Dennis has a big mouth. He runs it on, and everybody sort of thought he was a Zogbot, too. And he's sort of associated with Tom Metzger. And, I mean, you've never seen a lone wolf with a bigger mouth than Dennis Mahan. Well, anyway, there's a friend of mine, Bob Jones. He ended up...
Wall chart.
Huh?
You need to do a wall chart or a big tree, you know, like a family tree.
Oh, a flow chart?
You've got so many names that you... have connected. It's all
well, not directly connected, but you see, you got to understand. In this movement, you have so many Zogbots, and then they're playing at revolution, and then it turns out that they're going to go to prison on trumped up charges or actual for their own stupidity, that they end up going ahead and turning, and they're agent provocateurs. I call them Zogbots. And, Red Mike, he's a Zogbot. They go ahead, and it's just like Trader Glenn Miller. They make a big deal of him because he comes across as a big, fat, old, diabetic right-winger and who's living off of government disability check, and, you know, they're making hay from it. And old Red Mike, why, he's just scurrying right out in front for the FPLC to go ahead and do that. But 1998, he pulled the gun on Pam Beasley because she took pictures of these Alabama Bureau of Investigation pigs and their little pigmobiles and that Red Mike had invited. And here's Hassie and the rest of these, you know, about 10, 15 militia generals who were freaking out. Well, who invited the pigs to this, you know, to this farm here? And why does Red Mike pull this .45 on Pam Beasley until she goes ahead and hands over the camera and the film? I mean, they're all freaking out, and, you know, Red Mike was pretty well despised for a number of years because he freaked them people out because nobody invited the Alabama Bureau of Investigation except Red Mike. And why did he pull the gun on this whore who's sucking off his best friend? I mean, a lot of this movement is a lot like Peyton Place. Is what it's about here.
You think that we should, if we are white nationalists, our identity, should we keep it secret and not tell anybody, and not try to organize?
In the Bible, nowhere in the Bible does it say that Babylon. I mean, if we're Christian identity, we believe that Zog is also known as Babylon, and I believe this is the third Babylon. The first Babylon was in Genesis chapter 6, where you end up having demons and muds miscegenate with the Adamites, and it was just a local flood, you know, because I'm of the dual seed line belief. And then the second Babylon was under Nimrod and Semiramis, where they were trying to go ahead and force a one-world government to where whites would be bred away. And then this third Babylon, is just like Daniel 2:44, where they say they'll mix the seed of men. Now, if that's not a description of Zog Babylon, I don't know what is, but you don't read anywhere where it says that Christian identity, you know, Christ's militiamen are going to overthrow the government. It's not going to happen. What you need to do, you don't need to be going ahead and going to these Tea Party meetings. You don't need to be going ahead and doing stupid crap like this Huttery. I mean, from what I gather, they had a federal informant who was the one who was actually making these bombs and telling them to do that, and they got rounded up. But what I've been talking to a number of people who aren't Christianity or who are in the militia movement, and they say there is a vast, you know, 2009 was just like 1994 in the formation of these militias, and in 1994 most of them were less than a dozen white men who were either Christianity or Klan oriented, and I had two militias that I helped form, and I took them back underground in 1996. I mean, there was no sense in keeping them up above ground just to be riddled by informers and the rest of them. So what you do is that you go ahead and you make peace with your fellows, two or three family congregations. You should have guns. You should have beans, bolts, and bandages. But you're not going to go ahead and overthrow Zog. You know, it doesn't say that Zog is overthrown by the in the Bible. It says that Zog destroys itself.
Right, so, we should threaten the police.
Yeah, well, don't. Why do you want to go ahead and bring yourself to attention of the police? That's stupid.
Exactly.
That's stupid. I mean, most of the two or three family congregations here in Newton and McDonald County, well, they know of me, but they don't want to associate with me because, hey, they don't want to be known as, you know, and I don't want to really be associated with them. I want to keep the church underground, and I want to keep these militias underground. But there is a good deal of militias activity. And it's not mainly Christianity anymore. It's every white man who realizes that he's getting screwed by the nigger. He's getting screwed by the Jews. That's all the nigger did was just go ahead and pass health care to give to the niggers and Mexicans and have the white man pay for it. That's all it was about. $500 billion taken out of Medicare out of old white people in order to go ahead and give to the niggers and the illegal beaners. So, you're not going to go ahead. I mean, I've been in the Army, and they have hellacious weapons that can go ahead and kill you real quick, and your local police can kill you real quick. Don't come to their attention. Don't think that there's a political solution. My run for election is just to cause trouble. It's to go ahead and make the Republicans admit that they hate white people, and they don't want an open white man to run here. And that doesn't cost me anything. I don't promise any election or anything like that. So don't, I mean, if you have a militia or something like that where you're training your young men how to go ahead and protect themselves, you know, against righteous niggers and beaners and pigs or something like that, because sooner or later, you're going to have to walk a fine line as to when you have to go ahead and, you know, shoot somebody who's coming to your house to steal your food. Leave you to starve. You're going to have to go ahead and figure out when you have no choice but to go ahead and shoot the local pig. But for now, you don't need to come to their attention. That's what I'm trying to say, is that, if Trader Glenn Miller and Red Mike Vanderkuyke, they're Asian provocateurs, and they're getting plenty of publicity. You don't need to be on. You don't need publicity. You don't need anybody to know who you are, you know, what guns you have. I mean, you know, that's what gets me, is that Mike, you know, this guy named Mike Kemp, he didn't have his own gun. Somebody went ahead and took a picture, you know, gave him, you know, one of their guns. He got on Media Bypass magazine, and then afterwards he ends up going ahead and getting spending the next year nearly killed by local pigs on trumped-up drug charges. Whereas, with Mike Vanderkuyke, he has all these guns, and he's showing up with all these Republican wiggers at Knob Creek firing full automatic weaponry. And does he get any visits from the ATF? No. He's telling people to go ahead and break out Democrat Congress critter windows. Is he in jail? No. So what does that tell you? It tells me that he's an Asian provocateur. But he's getting plenty of the evidence. You know, he's getting plenty of the he's scurrying like a fat little Jew that he is. And I haven't had time to go ahead and deal with him on my forum, you know, at whitenationalist.org/forum. But I mean, me and Red Mike have tangled, and I've pretty well made fun of him. And I pretty well call him an FDLC front. He whines, he bitches, he moans about it. But, you know, he can't go ahead and say anything about it because the evidence is in. So, anyway, Do you promise a turkey to cook it every oven? No, I need to do it. What I need to do is this is Easter. I need to go ahead and tell how Pharaoh Adolf Lindstedt would have handled the Jews coming after to let the people go. And probably Pharaoh Adolf Lindstedt would have said, "You Jews, you can leave Egypt right now, and hey, Jesse Jackson, you can take the niggers with you. You know, head out to the wilderness. We're turning you loose." You know, maybe you can head south here, and you Jews, you can head east here, or west, or north, for all I care. But I mean, you gotta know that Jews were not in the Passover because nobody in their right mind would have wanted to keep Jews in their country. I mean, have you ever known a Jew to work? Have you ever known a Jew to be worth anything as far as farming? I mean, who in the right mind will allow Jews to happen? Oh, yeah, well, on Kristallnacht. What happens is that in the case of the Jews, Red Mike, he's getting a lot of flack from other Jews by saying, well, you want to go ahead and start another modern American Kristallnacht, and Red Mike, he's sort of caught here because he can't go ahead and call them dirty Jews and for, you know, bringing this crap up. He has to whine and bitch and moan and pretend to be a goyim, even though I think he's a Jew. But in any case, okay, I was just wondering if, you know, pretty well I've got it out. You know, the main thing I wanted to do is talk about Zogbots. And the main Zogbot I want to talk to you about was Trader Glenn Miller and VNNF. I want to talk about Red Mike Vanderbilt, or Red Mike Vanderkuyt, as I call him. I want to go ahead and talk about Jeremy Visser, but only in return because it's pretty well died down. Visser, I'm pretty well convinced, has got caught with drugs, and he's gotten some money, and his money ain't doing him any good because, I think people are onto him. So that's pretty well why I wanted to talk, and I've pretty well covered this. And if there's anybody who wants to go ahead and ask any questions, I'll go ahead and cover them for the next 5 minutes. And then later on today or tomorrow, I'm going to go ahead and have part two of Zogbots, and I'm going to go ahead and cover them. But that's pretty well what I accomplished this week. I went ahead and got to see the nuts who I left behind at the nut house, you know, who are being treated badly. Some of them have committed horrendous crimes. You know, don't get me wrong. I sort of think these nut houses ought to be pretty well abolished because I don't think insanity should be used as an excuse. If you commit a crime, it shouldn't matter whether or not you are insane or not. Now, on the other hand, though, is that insane people are not able to defend themselves against the accusations. You know, and in many cases, insane people, you end up having the actual smart pedophile committing the crime, and then he blames the retarded, you know, retarded character who is so insane that he can't defend himself. We end up having these sort of people, and I've seen it pretty well firsthand. Some super retardo gets blamed for being the pervert here when, you know, the character, you know, in many cases don't even know what his dick is for there. You know what I mean? But I have seen perverts uphand. I mean, I was accused of being one. Although I'd never seen how in the world they were going to go ahead, and there was no forensic evidence, so I kissed my grandson's penis. It never happened. But what they want to do is they want to go ahead and get the local wiggers whipped up to where, hey, here I'm facing 10 years to life on trumped-up charge. And it's just like the days of Ahab and Elijah. And what I do is I use the tactics of Elijah. Elijah told King Ahab that because he'd murdered an innocent Israelite, that everyone of his regime and his family, you know, who died in the city would be eaten by the dogs. And everyone who died in the fields would be eaten by birds. I mean, in Christian Israel, Yahweh does not like tyrants over Christian Israel because these tyrants immediately bring in these foreign people, these Jews. And what they do is they seek to go ahead and destroy our people through miscegenation, through destroying their economic livelihood. And that's what these Jews have done to us. But you can't blame Jews for what Uyghurs allowed. Uyghurs allowed Jews to come in. If it was for just people like me, the niggers wouldn't have been allowed to come into this country in the first place. The beaners wouldn't be allowed in this country. The Jews wouldn't be allowed in this country. Essentially, you give them 30 days, you know, to clear out, unless, like Jews, are obviously guilty as hell. They have already stolen, and just like King Ferdinand and, you know, King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella in 1492, after they kicked out the Moors, the Jews were the next bunch they kicked out. And they told the Jews, guess what, you're not allowed to take herds of animals, you're not allowed to take gold and silver, you're not allowed to take white slaves. All you take, Jew, is the clothes on your lice-ridden back, and you get the hell out. You know what I mean? That's a Uyghur problem, and I'm going to go ahead, and the theme show for this show, the Movement Third, is Uyghur problem, you know, because I do believe we have a Uyghur problem, more than we have a Jew problem, more than we have a nigger problem, more than we have a beaner problem. We have a Uyghur problem. Treasonous Uyghurs allow this. In the Republican Party, it's comprised of treasonous Uyghurs who think that they can go ahead and betray the white man. Did I say penis? Well, I don't know if I said penis or not here. You know, Visser lives. Well, the thing about it is Visser, you know, the word out of the street is Visser, you know, back in September is that he was back on meth. And I have a picture of Visser, and he looks like a meth head. I mean, he has a skull. I mean, you know, they get on this meth, and then they can't get off the meth, and they end up looking like they have skulls. They look all gant. Because they don't eat. Because all they want to do is, take meth. And that's what Visser looks like from his October 2008 Feast of Tabernacles. He looks like a Gant meth head. And when people, word out on the street is that he's doing this here, well, you got to wonder, where did he get the money all of a sudden? And why in the world is he with this, you know, with Brian Wright, Billy Wood, and the rest of them, these Mamzers? And, you know, the last thing here he was called William Fink a Mamzer. And William Fink wasn't amused by it. So he's letting this thing on. So anyway, I mean, these people, they come into Christian identity and they do all sorts of stupid crap that isn't going to advance it any. I mean, why in the world do you want to go ahead and be, you know, found out by Zog? If you don't have anything good to write or something like that, don't write. Now, one character I got on whose Christian identity of a sort is this character named June. And what I've done is I've upgraded my webpage or the forums, and I've gone ahead and given him a new blog to where he can go ahead and post on that blog. And I can also post my stuff because we both know the password to it. And that's my point, is that, you know, my hits on my webpage are going up. They're going to go up a little bit as I run for public office. I'm pretty well a figure, in the movement. But unless you have leadership potential, unless you have you know, propaganda value, you're able to go ahead and write good propaganda. There's no need for you to be known by Zog. These militias, I mean, yes, by all means, you know, you don't even need to call a militia. Just call a, you know, a neighborhood defense league or whatever. You don't really want to be known as big and bad because guess what? Zog has a lot more machinery and a lot more stuff than you do. You know, this Hutteri militia, they were infiltrated. And just like happened in the 1990s, all these people said no more Wacos. They went in and betrayed all these other people. Well, you don't believe exactly in the constipation like I do, and therefore you're just fools, and I'm not going to support you. And the thing about the militia movement is that it never supported each other. Never did. Never did. So, in any case, I'm gonna go ahead and try to get on Breckenridge Elkins' show, and then I got this nigger named Jenkins. I'll try to get on his Martin Luther King show, and then maybe later on tonight or tomorrow I'll have a movement turd number 11.5 or whatever. Anyway, I'm gonna go ahead and wrap it up and say, hail victory. Good night.